May the words of my mouth and the meditation of our hearts be acceptable in your sight, O Lord, our strength and our Redeemer. Amen. Jesus knows that people love and can relate to a good story, especially one that has a hook in its tail that keeps the mind pondering its real meaning in the mind of the listener. The parables, the stories that Jesus told, are everyday stories people can relate to. They are life stories with a spiritual impact, and they're still with us today. Now, you may well have your own parables. Have you thought of that? Your own life experiences that are more than just a story, because they have impacted you in a spiritual way. I know I have several, and I'd like to share two with you to illustrate this. First was a community parable for those who saw and were deeply touched by the Spirit of God. You may recall a few months ago, four Victorian police officers were killed in a horrific road crash that shocked us all. To lose four police in one accident was so tragic. Following that incident, I heard a story of a lady who had to drive from a home in Melbourne in Victoria the following day, passing that same spot on the highway, and she was very apprehensive about that, praying as she went down the highway for the police who had died and for their families in their grief and for her own safety. As she was slowly passing the exact place of the accident, she said she was absolutely overwhelmed with emotion as four large, beautiful, pure white butterflies flew and hovered in front of her car window screen, travelling with her for several metres of the drive until she passed the accident site before they flew off. She said that no longer was she in the car alone, but God's Spirit was there. She said she would never feel the same again. Something in her had shifted and changed, and it was powerful, and it was peace. Is that not a parable? Is that not a life story that had a spiritual impact? For me, the most significant personal parable in my life is not around butterflies, but blue wrens, as many of you would know. Those beautiful little birds that some of you have heard me tell this story, but I think it's important today. The significance of the blue wren for me arose from God's grace after the death of my mother. When I was a child, we would often picnic by the river or creek within my father's Sunday church circuit of rural ministry, or at holiday times. My mother would point out her favourite bird, the blue wren. "See that little bird there," she would say. "That's a blue wren, and with him are all the Jenny Wrens." I didn't think much about this until later in my life. When my mother died, I was not sure if she had a personal relationship with God, and I prayed about that. Within days of her passing, there were blue wrens in my garden. I had not seen them there previously, and at the time of my ordination, the blue wrens were there again in my garden. And more remarkably, they came to my garden on the day that would have been my mother's birthday, and also the day of the anniversary of her death. They've come so often over the years on many special occasions. To me, it speaks so much of God's Spirit, of assurance, of love, of God's goodness and grace. It's a story with a spiritual impact. It's a parable. This experience changed my life and set me on a path to love and serve the Lord. Sometimes when we share a spiritual encounter, it's taking a bit of a risk, for its true impact can be lost on the listener. However, I believe that such stories should be shared for the encouragement and benefit of those who do hear their true meaning. What was powerful for you and I can be lost in the retelling of it, because the person hearing the encounter will hear it differently, if indeed they hear it at all for what it is. It can run the risk of falling on ears that do not want to hear, or hear but forget the impact it had. Hear, but their mind is elsewhere, and so they miss the point. Or it can fall on ears that hear it for its true value, and in that context it is gathered up, retained, retold, and remembered vividly. It then becomes part of each person's life and story to share, as I have done with these two modern-day life parables. Matthew chapter 13 is an extremely important chapter in the pattern of this gospel, because it is here that we see the real turning point in Jesus' ministry. When Jesus began his ministry, he taught in the synagogues with scribes and Pharisees. And now we find his ministry is outside, in the open, with a very different audience. And this is when his teaching in parables begins. Jesus is a master storyteller who uses imagery and everyday situations to get his message across. And the richness of this is not lost in the parable of the sower. If we want to teach something to people that they do not understand, we have to begin with something they do understand, which is exactly how Jesus saw things when he talked to them in parables. Perhaps the reason we so vividly remember the parables from our childhood is because they were in story form, because of the vivid imagery. Our imagination allows the picture to become real in our minds. Here a parable makes the truth into a picture that we can all see and understand if we are listening. Now the parable of the sower is for those in the church and on the outside. And the main thrust of the parable, all the details of the parable focus attention to one point, that the faithful proclamation of the gospel will never fail to bring forth fruit, producing a crop 30, 60 or even 100 times that which was sown. The parable begins with imagery that is right in front of the listener, and it's all around them. It's a way of their life and a part of their life experience. When Jesus got into the boat to talk, he didn't have a prepared text. And as I said, he was a master storyteller. And off the shore of the sea, as he looked up to the hillside before him, he may have seen a sower, the farmer, in the field scattering seed. Some would be falling on the path, some on the rocky ground, and some among thorns, while some fell on the good soil. It was a natural event when hand-sowing seed by scattering. As he saw this sower in the field, he began, "See that sower in the field there? He is scattering and sowing seed, and look what is happening to it." As I read the parable, I can immediately see the sights, hear the sounds of the outdoors, hear the water lapping around the boat and the noise of the crowd, see the sower scattering the seed, see Jesus on the sea in the boat, see the expectation on the faces of the crowd. As Jesus faced the large crowd on the beach and told them this story, he had four kinds of hearers in the crowd. In the first instance, that was what was sown was just completely lost. The word of God reached the listener, but before the word could have any effect at all, the evil one, Satan, snatched it away. Matthew introduces the word heart in verse 15 in his telling of this parable, saying the evil one comes and snatches away what was sown in his heart. The word of God reaches the heart of the listener, but before the word could take effect at all, Satan comes and snatches it away. As the bird swoops down and devours the seed, so the seed sown in the heart can be as quickly lost, or as we would probably say today, it's like water off a duck's back, or in one ear and out the other. Some people are like seed along the path where the word is sown. Others, like seed sown on rocky places, are deceptive. They hear the word at once and receive it with joy, but it is short-lived because it has no roots and soon dies away. This shallow person lacks conviction, courage, stability, and perseverance. They are influenced by every wind of doctrine that blows their way. They are quick to give away what they heard as they were to grasp it in the first place. The gospel is not precious to them, for their hearts are as hard as the path along the grain field. When the seed is sown and grows with the thorns, both struggle to survive. The word is heard, the soil is good, but the thorns that represent the world overtakes it. If we were to ask Matthew who then is the person with the noble and good heart, Matthew would say it is the one who hears the word and understands it, the one who is the good soil. Matthew calls to mind the quotation from Isaiah, "The person with the noble and perfect heart does the will of God, and in answer to God's call, whom shall I send?" answers confidently, "Send me, O Lord," the hearer and doer of the word. He understands because the heart is receptive to God's truth. His whole being, his will, his intellect and emotions are touched by that word. There's a series of windows we could look through into this parable with a variety of views, but primarily it's about our response to hearing Jesus' message and the amazing effect that can produce. It enables us to change lives, including our own. And some examples of this, of hearing God's word and changing lives, perhaps are through standing up for others who have been put down in racial discrimination and rallying others to see the injustice in that. God did not make any of us superior to others. We are all his, created by him and loved by him. We need to change, and with the good soil seed growing in us, we can do that. Or maybe it's just simply applying the gospel message to our neighbours, especially in this time of the global pandemic, or sharing what we have with those less fortunate and seeing how God's love through us can be taken to the isolated, the lonely, housebound, and how a simple drink of water can lift the spirit of the homeless man sitting on the cold concrete outside the local shop. Maybe helping to show Christian love in outreach groups and through such as our community playgroup for toddlers and babies, or advocate for refugees, care for the frail aged and those living with disabilities, and so many other opportunities to do what God has shown us because we have listened and we have heard and his words have fallen on good soil. A good message in this parable is, if you have ears, then listen. And if you have breath, then speak. I know many of you listening here today understand what I'm saying. You know what this parable means and have or are taking it to heart and acting on it. But for those who are struggling, don't lose heart. Take your prayers and petitions to God so he can till the soil within you. There's really nothing in literature that can compare to the parables Jesus told. I would hope that we would never become complacent with them. While they may be very familiar to us, they should also be everlastingly fresh. They are interwoven with the memories of our developing Christian lives. They should always retain an impression and a vivid entirety of their own. They should still hold the awe and wonder they did when we first heard them. Theologian Tom Wright says, "Jesus has given life and peace. In a world of death and need, God's human temples, you and I, have an awesome responsibility. Be bold and confident in your faith in Jesus Christ. Tell the stories, tell your parables, share them, and may they land on good soil. May your listeners have ears to hear, and through God's grace, may more and more people, 30, 60, 100-fold, come to know him and the richness of his kingdom. Let us pray. Lord, today may we have heard your word clearly. May we serve you dearly. And may others come to know you and your loving kindness through us. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.